Hello and welcome to the Walk Podcast. My name's David Tiltman, and today we're talking about the state of social media, and in particular, advertising on social media. Now, the team at our Walk Media service have released a brand new global ad trends report highlighting a remarkable acceleration in ad investment with social platforms over the last 18 months. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by the lead editor on that report, Alex Brownsell, who is head of content at Walk Media. Now, this is a 3 in 15 podcast, so we'll be bringing you three key insights from that report over the next 15-ish minutes. But before we get into those insights, Alex, there's so many interesting things going on in social, but just explain a little bit why you picked this topic for the latest Global Ad Trends report.
Hi, David. Well, to be blunt, it feels like there's even more going on in social than usual, and we'll be getting into the details in just a moment. But, you know, from the prospect of a potential ban of TikTok in the US to the sort of remarkable renaissance we've seen in Meta's ad business, it just seemed like a really opportune moment to take a look at that social ad market again.
Okay, now before we get into it, how are we defining social media here?
Yeah, it's a good question. And for the purposes of this report, we're looking at all spend with social media platforms globally. That includes Chinese social media platforms, irrespective of format. So, you know, social video is included in social. We include TikTok, but we don't include YouTube.
Yeah, I think that's an important point, because a lot of these platforms are converging in spaces. And I guess there's a question long term about whether TikTok is a video platform or a social platform. But for the purposes of this particular report, we're including TikTok in social, right?
That's absolutely right. Yeah. And this is it. I mean, it's a broader philosophical question. You know, what is a social network anymore? A lot of these platforms, as you say, have become more sort of passive entertainment platforms. But we're still following this path because this is the way that we see brands allocating budget. This is the way that we see the big agency groups looking at it as well.
Great. Well, let's get started with the first insight from the report then. What have you got?
One of the big headlines that we're leading with is social media is now the leading channel globally by advertising spend. So we're forecasting that global social investment will reach $247 billion this year, and that's up 14.3% year on year. And crucially, that is going to be ahead of the $224 billion set to be spent on paid search, which was previously the lead channel by ad spend. And when we talk about search, important to clarify, we're talking here about generic search engines like Google, like Bing. We're not including retail media. We know that a lot of retail media advertising is search-like, but we count that separately for the time being.
Okay, so again, there's a few definitions in there, but I guess what's really interesting is just that sheer scale of social media advertising and the level of growth. So what do you think, what's driving this trend? Why are we seeing so much more money come into social?
There's a few factors, but I mean, the one big driver really from a numbers perspective is that aforementioned renaissance of Meta. It was in the doldrums a year or two ago. It recorded its first ever year-on-year declines in ad revenue, but we're actually forecasting that Meta will earn $155.6 billion in ad revenue this year. That's across Facebook, across Instagram, and to a much lesser extent, WhatsApp as well. And this is the real clincher. Remarkably, that means that at current trajectory, Meta is set to overtake the entire global linear TV ad market in 2025.
Oh, wow. We need to dwell on that stat for a moment. That is, all linear TV spend worldwide will be smaller than Meta's ad revenue, right?
Yeah, it's a remarkable thing. We chart it in the report, and you can just see, you know, 10 years ago, that wouldn't have even been a consideration. You know, this is all spend with every linear TV broadcaster, you know, that's from CBS and Fox to ITV and RTL and 7 and everybody else. Linear TV spend globally, we forecast to stand at $163 billion this year. So that's only a few billion ahead of Meta. So it is likely to be overtaken next year. And before people come back and say, well, what about CTV? What about, you know, SVOD and BVOD and all of those other sort of new formats, streaming formats? Even the $196 billion that's forecast to be spent on the sort of total TV market, if you like, is probably going to be chased down by Meta within a few years if those current growth rates persist.
Yeah, I mean, that is crazy. I think what's really interesting, though, if you look at Meta's overall total, that is a big majority of the total social media market, isn't it?
Yeah, no, very much so. I think if we included ByteDance as a single entity, so that's TikTok at an international level, Douyin in China, that would be a sizable competitor, but nothing on Meta. It really has become a sort of, you know, ad revenue machine.
Yeah, and it's, and because we think of social as a more fragmented market than maybe say search, but actually what's interesting is social is becoming more consolidated around Meta. Well, search arguably is becoming more fragmented with the likes of the rise of things like retail media. So there's some really interesting shifts going on in this space, aren't there?
Yeah, definitely. And you're right on search. You know, I think that search as a type of a function that includes retail media, as you said. Increasingly, we are seeing search migrate into video platforms, into social media as well. It's something we'll touch on later. But yeah, from that social budget, Meta is just increasingly powerful.
So why do we think Meta in particular is growing so fast and that social market is really consolidating around it?
There's a couple of key factors that we've reported on quite a bit on Walk over the last year or so. The first is really, really huge increase in investment from Chinese brands. And this is Chinese brands that are exporting, that are looking to gain customers in markets like North America and like Europe. So Meta's full year revenue from China last year stood at $13.7 billion, but that's up 85% year on year and accounted for 5 percentage points towards its annual growth. And that's really, you know, it's brands like Temu, for instance, that everyone will have heard of, spending a huge amount of money to grow their audiences outside of China. And the second point is around AI. And this is perhaps one that's slightly harder to measure. We don't have the breakdowns, but we know that Meta's AI tools are proving very popular with advertisers. And Brian Weezer, the principal analyst at Madison and Wall, he believes that Advantage Plus, which is the name of one of Meta's key kind of AI tools, is actually starting to attract incremental spend. That isn't just a shift in dollars from one format to, say, Reels, which is another popular growth area for Meta. This is actually additional spend that the brands wouldn't have spent in the first place.
Yeah, and this is really interesting, this AI point as well, because I think you mentioned up the top that sort of wobble that Meta platforms had a couple of years ago, and a lot of that was driven by the work Apple was doing around privacy, sort of signal loss within social. So what they've managed to do using AI in a different form of modeling audiences that is more privacy compliant is actually get around that and find a more privacy compliant way of targeting users. That's what's driven this, isn't it?
Yeah, that seems to be the case. I mean, I think that the effectiveness point around the AI and the extent to which it really is delivering long-term results is still to play out. But for the minute, advertisers do seem to be persuaded that the investments and trusting that algorithm does seem to be delivering the outcomes for them.
I just want to touch on that point about Chinese brands you made as well, because using my rough maths, close to 10% of total revenue is coming from China. It's like 13.7 billion out of 155. So is Meta dependent on sustained spend from those Chinese exporters? I mean, that is that sort of easy come, easy go revenue that could in a maybe a different political climate, or if the Chinese economy picks up, actually disappear?
I think there's definitely a risk factor associated for Meta. So, you know, if for instance, the US authorities clamp down on some of the sort of import mechanisms that those Chinese platforms and Chinese advertisers are using, that would definitely hurt Meta. It wouldn't just hurt Meta, by the way. I think it would hurt Amazon significantly as well. But it's not a kind of all or nothing situation for Meta. As I mentioned, you know, we are seeing that investment in Reels is helping to sort of sustain demand among Western brands, particularly that brand building side. And then there are likely to be opportunities for Meta to win spend from other parts of the ad ecosystem as well. Not least, of course, with that threat of a ban looming over TikTok in the US.
Okay, so we talked a lot about what's happening with Meta, and obviously that is, as we've said, a core part of the social media market. But there are a lot of other platforms out there. So what trends are we seeing beyond Meta?
Well, let's talk about TikTok. As I said, we do include them, TikTok, in the social media market. And we are expecting TikTok to continue to grow, you know, notwithstanding the potential for that ban. We're looking at 18.3% year-on-year increase in advertising investment. Now, that is a really significant slowdown from the sort of, you know, 80-85 plus growth rate that it clocked up in 2023, despite the sort of introduction of new formats in areas like search and commerce as well.
So why are we seeing that slowdown, do you think?
There's a couple of things. I think it reflects a growing maturity, a growing scale. That those sorts of huge growth rates are hard to maintain as you get larger. I think it also potentially speaks to a bit of a shift that we're seeing in the ad market at the moment, and a real pivot towards performance. You know, TikTok's content algorithm is second to none. I don't think anybody would dispute that in terms of its ability to keep users watching videos for longer periods of time than any other platform. But for that sort of sheer performance credential, you know, persuading marketers of the ability to deliver outcomes, TikTok still has some work to do to catch up with Meta. And I think the point that really hammers that home is we're actually expecting Instagram to outgrow TikTok, to grow faster by 10 percentage points this year, which is remarkable given that Instagram has been around a much longer time.
And what about that potential for a ban in the US? Is that sort of priced into the figures?
No, it isn't. We would have to revisit the figures. I mean, that is under our expectation that TikTok will be available to US users throughout the year. And this would have huge consequences. We're talking about over $10 billion forecast to be spent with TikTok in 2024. You know, and that's just the US spend. Obviously, if it was pulled in the US, I think a lot of brands who see it as a global platform from a content perspective and creators would question its continued relevance without that US heft.
Do we have any idea who might benefit most from a ban, if indeed it happens?
Yeah, well, if is the big question, and it's the big $10 billion question. Who would win? It's what everybody wants to know, and I think it would be wrong to look beyond those platforms that have very similar formats, functionality, that vertical video, Reels with Meta, YouTube Shorts, you know, even Snapchat is getting in on the act with Spotlight, and Snapchat in particular does very well with a Gen Z audience, which has been one of TikTok's key selling points to advertisers, that ability to connect with the really younger cohorts that just don't, frankly, watch linear TV anymore.
But ultimately, there are still 10 billion reasons why TikTok may end up remaining in business in the US, even if it's under new ownership.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to sort of obviously predict what's going to happen politically in the US. But I feel that it'd be an even more remarkable thing for TikTok to be banned now than it was 3 or 4 years ago when it first came up in the first Trump administration. It would be a damaging thing, I think, for the US marketing industry. I think US brands would be really concerned by what they're losing by not having TikTok available. So yeah, let's watch that space.
What trends are we seeing among the other platforms?
It's broadly a very good picture. It's not just Meta that's picking up that the social spend is benefiting, increase in social spend is benefiting platforms more broadly. Snapchat, Pinterest, for instance, we see them returning to double-digit ad growth this year. Pinterest, we think 17.3% year-on-year growth. Snapchat slightly less than that, 13.7%. But actually, interestingly, we see both of those platforms sustaining and even strengthening their growth over the course of the year. All eyes are going to be on Reddit's first quarterly results since its IPO, which come out later today. I think Reddit is another platform that I think we expect to benefit from this uptick in social spend. But there is one exception, of course, and the one platform that we think is likely to decline again is X, formerly known as Twitter.
Go on, give us the gory details.
Well, I think it's not going to be as cataclysmic as it was last year, but we're forecasting that the X's ad revenue will decline by about 6.4% globally, slightly improved picture, but still a year-on-year decline in the US. And that slower rate of decline, by the way, is mostly thanks to political advertising, through which X does reasonably well, rather than any particular sense among brands that that Elon Musk has got the platform to turn any corners.
Or indeed that Elon Musk has changed his attitude towards advertisers.
No, they are still, well, we're not going to repeat what he said, but I still think that is official policy.
Okay, let's move on to the third and final topic from the report. What have you got?
Well, look, as well as crunching all of these numbers, these forecasts, I think we wanted to reflect on what all of this means for brands, for marketers, for advertisers, especially from a media planning perspective. And one of the key points that came up in some of the conversations we had with experts from Group M, from PhD, is that a lot of the social platforms are becoming more homogenous. I mean, most have the same vertical video player. They all have stories type formats. The user experience is becoming really similar across apps. And then you have Instagram moving into X's domain with Threads, TikTok moving into Instagram's domain with Notes. Everybody's moving into search and shopping. It's all kind of coming together.
Yeah, we've heard a lot about this. I mean, if you pardon my French, that sameness is often referred to as the inshitification of the internet. I think that was Cory Doctorow's phrase, isn't it? It's the sort of incentive, the commercial incentive behind a lot of these platforms means that they all end up, but everything basically ends up looking the same. And, you know, a lot of the sort of distinctiveness, the formal distinctiveness of these platforms is being ironed out. Is this something brands should be worried about?
I don't think so, truthfully. Not yet. I mean, we're not seeing any particular huge flight from Instagram or from TikTok or any of these other platforms, especially even with younger audiences. There may be sort of private grumbles that their favorite platform is becoming more and more like the one that their mum and dads use. But I think mostly users seem to be sticking around. And if anything, actually, you know, the fact that the formats, ad formats now can be seen across different platforms is potentially making it easier for brands to use campaign assets across, you know, TikTok and Shorts and Reels and other ones.
But it's interesting, isn't it, to go back to the point we made at the top, how these platforms are all sort of coalescing around, I guess, entertainment. That we still call them social media, but the social element is sort of vanishing in place of a focus on keeping you entertained, keeping you on platform, that sort of stickiness. That's fair, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I think a lot of the platforms were moving towards video anyway, and then TikTok came along and showed what was possible with that sort of addictive kind of highly personalized feed of videos that people will sit and watch for hours, frankly. And what we're seeing then is that social element is moving out of the sort of inverted commas social media platforms and is moving into the messaging space. So WhatsApp obviously is a key beneficiary. Those groups where people will speak with one another and share things and actually the social media platforms, as we still refer to them for the purposes of this report, are much more about passive consumption.
Now, talk to me about ad loads, because this you talked about in-shitification earlier. This is the other element to it. It's not just that everything looks the same, it's that there are just ads everywhere. What are we seeing in terms of ad loads?
Yeah, well, I think this is a potential area of, if not concern, then something that brands should keep an eye on. So, you know, as I mentioned earlier, that the breadth of formats on each platform is increasing, especially as platforms look to move into areas like search and commerce, for instance. But we're also starting to see a noticeable uptick in the volume of advertising on social media. Platforms are really aiming to improve their monetization efficiency. Now, this is a phrase I think Meta have used in some of their earnings calls. So in the report, as well as showing the kind of huge uptick in spend, we also have a chart that dwells on over the last 10 years usage and that's the number of users and also the time spent on social media. And don't get me wrong, in both cases, there has been an increase, but it's been far more modest than the increase in ad spend that we've seen over the same period. And I think what that tells us is two things. It's that the platforms are improving their monetization efficiency through increasing the ad load and through rising CPMs.
Do we have any numbers on that specifically, that ad load point?
There are various statistics that kind of point to this trend. I mean, Meta, for instance, themselves actually increasingly talk about ad impressions and the increase in ad impressions rather than, for instance, MAUs or DAUs, monthly average users, or daily average users, because they're not seeing the increase anymore. There aren't that many more people to join Facebook or Instagram. Third-party reporting suggests that the ad loads on, for instance, something like Reels has gone up more than 19% in the fourth quarter of 2023. The average Reels session now includes seven or more ads. We don't have great data on this. It's something actually that we're really interested in looking at. But I think it's something that brands are beginning to talk about, particularly when it comes to rising costs, which are going to impact metrics like ROI.
So what does that mean for brands?
I think it's something that they need to keep in mind. You know, tools like Advantage Plus appear to have, frankly, supercharged a lot of campaign efficiencies. But if your ad suddenly costs three times as much as it did previously, and it's being displayed in a really cluttered environment that users aren't necessarily appreciating, then there is a question mark over the continued effectiveness of some of those campaigns.
Yeah, and as those spaces get more cluttered, I guess what's going to be interesting to see how factors like attention and increasing use of things like attention and media planning start to play in.
Yeah, completely. I think that's exactly it. You know, we have seen a lot of attention measurement already question the quality of attention in social platforms, and we'll see that further erode if there's a huge upswing in the volume of advertising.
Thank you, Alex. Well, look, that's all we've got time for today. That global ad trends report we've been talking about is available for Walk Media subscribers. If you're not a subscriber, we've done a sample version, so head over to Walk to check that out. That's all for this episode of the Walk Podcast. If you like what you heard, please do follow us on your favorite podcasting platform. If you really liked it, please do leave us a review. Until next time, thanks for listening. Thank you.